See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how we get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
He was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, and Matt Speak, and of course Joe unfortunately isn't here, but with us as always is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Happy to be here. It's just you and me for the first time in 5 years.
Is this the first time ever, or did we do
like
it
the
once?
First time?
Is the first time? Yeah, I was going to say, because I think, yeah, I mean, obviously Joe and I have done it. And then I think the only times Joe's been out, maybe we had Jimmy.
Catherine and Jimmy. Jimmy, yeah. For the Buffy the Vampire Buffy. Slayer.
That's right. Yeah.
That he wanted no part of.
He didn't want to do that one at all.
He was
fine missing that one.
And it was one of our best episodes I think we've ever done.
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. And yeah. It was, you know, I think it means we should do more TV episodes. You know what I mean? Like, because the way we did that, like, we didn't really say watch. I don't think we said like watch these episodes. I think we all just kind of watched ones that we wanted to. Yeah. And then we just got on, and then we gave our top 10 episodes, right? Well, that was basically right. That whole episode, our top 10. Yeah. So,
I mean, I watched like every season, like the first like 5 seasons, like every single episode, like I was tearing them down and I was like, I'm not going to make it. But fortunately I just skipped through like the fillers and mm-hmm. I just looked up on, you know, Google or something, like, you know, the great episodes. And so I was already like familiar with all the characters and what was going. So I was able to go, you know, look at the good episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I don't think I watched that many of the episodes. I mean, I brushed up on a bunch, but then I think most of it, cause I've watched that show so many times. Like I don't need to watch, you know, every, cause I pull out Buffy every now and then. And just, if I don't have anything going on or I'm just killing some time, that's one of those shows I'll just watch a couple episodes or whatever. So I've watched that probably, maybe not the later seasons, but especially those first 3 or 4 seasons, I've watched those episodes over and over. So
yeah, they're golden. Absolutely golden.
So yeah, we're without Joe, but Joe was kind enough in his sickness. He has the COVID, it sounds like, and
poor boy.
I know he was kind enough to give us a little review of each of the movies, and he posted it to Letterboxd so I could read it for us. And then, so don't look at Letterboxd, Mark, because I want you to guess what you think his opinions of each of these, keeping in mind that a sick Joe is not a happy Joe. So
it's not happy.
And a not a happy Joe, you never know what his opinions on things are going to wind up being. So
I don't know what the hell he's going to like and what he's not going to like.
I can never. Once he told us he didn't like Raging Bull, I had no idea what to do with him and his opinions anymore.
No, seriously. Like he was like, no, this is dumb. This is a dumb movie. And
I know.
Matt and I on the CineScare chat, we were just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
What?
And then, of course, Joe is talking about yesterday on the CineScare chat that PCU is like one of the best movies of all time.
Oh yeah.
I know. I'm like, it's not.
I can't figure you.
It's not even really. I mean, it is a classic film for the 90s to watch, mm-hmm. you know, over and over again, maybe 3 times, but then it doesn't it just doesn't age well at all.
That movie must have completely escaped me during college because I do not remember that one at all. Probably because I'm not a huge fan of what's his name.
Jeremy Piven.
Him. Yeah, I don't really care for him that much. But also the other guy, the guy from Saturday Night Live, David Spade. Yeah, I'm not a huge David Spade fan.
He's a one trick pony.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm sure Joe's grabbing his steering wheel listening Joe's to this right now. It's like, I can't defend this.
Hopefully he's back to work by Friday. Let's see. Have you watched anything new recently?
Yeah. I watched Primate, where a group of friends, tropical vacation turns into a primal tale of horror and survival when they're trapped in a house with a pet chimpanzee named Ben. And I gotta say, it's kind of like a Cujo inspired, you know, some fun kills and not a bad January released horror film. Kind of started off with a bang. It's got some good kills, good gore in it, and the monkey looks great. I mean, there's some CGI moments with the monkey, but it's also a guy in a monkey suit and it looks great. And it's kind of Cujo inspired, but the kills are great, and this could have done really well in October, really would.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. I also watched We Bury the Dead. That's with Daisy Ridley. It's a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And it starts off really well in the first half hour to 40 minutes, and then the pacing gets a little off the beaten track, I guess you could say. It kind of became a little bit of a bore. I mean, it's a different take of the zombie apocalypse where, you know, it's like, what do you do with these dead bodies and picking them up or burying them and whatnot. And it's, you know, that tale of I need to find a family member, and it gets a little tiring, but there is a little bit of a tear jerk at the end. So it's not bad. I would definitely wait for streaming. I'd wait for streaming with Primate also. But I mean, these two films really weren't that bad. So, I mean, I think 2026 is starting off with a nice start. Good. Like I'm looking really forward to Scream 7. I know a lot of people aren't, but I mean, Matthew Lillard's going to be in it. You know, Stu. Right. And yeah. I don't know how. I just hope they don't just have him in a cell where, you know, it's like a Hannibal the Lecter kind of feel to it. I don't want that. I want Stu out in the public. I kind of want him to be a good guy. I don't want him to be, you know, a killer again. Kind of want to see him on the opposite end, you know.
Yeah.
End of the. But I mean, how long has it been since Stu's been in prison? 1997 to.
Right.
That's what, 30 years?
30 years, yeah.
He might have served time, you know? Maybe he didn't kill as many people as we thought he did. Yeah. 30 years. Could be commendable that he's released after 30 years. Good behavior.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm pumped for it. I haven't seen Bone Temple. Have you?
No. Is that out in the theaters or is it on streaming?
It's out in the theaters right now.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen anything in the theaters for a while, but yeah. I still haven't seen 28 years later. I completely forgot about that while I was cramming movies for the year show.
You still haven't watched it.
No. I just completely, like, I was watching, looking for movies to watch that I hadn't seen yet. And I slipped in like The Long Walk at the end and Ugly Stepsister, Black Phone 2, Begonia. You know, I slipped in a whole bunch, but then Influencers in those movies. And so I squeezed in a bunch, and that was one that completely slipped my mind. So I still haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, you gotta get on that. I'm curious to see what you think of it, because it's like a 50-50 reaction. Like, it's either people really loved it or they really hated it. Wasn't really like in the middle of the road. You know, I loved it, But yeah, Bone Temple is definitely on my list to see in the
theater. Yeah, I've heard that one's really good. Yeah,
I've been also hearing, well, more like 75%, like people are really enjoying it a lot more than the first 28 years later. But there are some people who are saying it's like they don't know where this is going. It's kind of a bore. The kid from the first one is kind of taking a back seat as the star in, you know, the sequel. But there's a lot of people that saying this is like one of the best ones out there so far. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
What have you watched?
Going back a little bit, cause I did, you know, I wasn't able to really talk about a couple movies because I watched them before the top 10 list. And, so like Begonia, I liked it. Didn't love it. I gave it 3 cuts. And I didn't feel it, to me, it wasn't really horror, you know, it was sort of more sci-fi, you know, political thriller almost in a way. I mean, not really, because it doesn't have government, but it, you know what I mean? It's that kind of conspiracy thriller more than actual horror to me. There's one scene that is kind of horrific. You saw it, right? Did you see?
Yeah.
Begonia? Yeah. Where he's like got her on those electrodes trying to, I don't know what he's trying to do, but he's like, and he turns up the electricity on her. That scene was uncomfortable, and you know, it was kind of horrific, but I didn't feel like it was really horror to me. So, and I didn't love it that much. Of course, I talked about this Ugly Stepsister, Black Phone 2. The Long Walk I watched. I didn't like it as much as you guys. I gave it about 3.5 cuts, but it didn't come close to my top 10. And then this last weekend, we watched Coraline. I hadn't seen that since I think I saw it in the movie theater way back when it came out. What year was that? It was like 20, what was that, 15 maybe? Oh, 2009. Wow.
It's 2009?
Yeah.
But I've never seen Coraline.
Oh, it's really good. Really good. It's very, it's the same guy who does the stop motion for really all of Tim Burton. You know, we think of Tim Burton's movies like
Nightmare Before Christmas
and what's the other one?
Weenie Dog?
Yeah, I don't know if he did that. His name is Henry Selick. He did James and the Giant Peach. He did Monkey Bone. I don't think I saw that.
Monkey Bone with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Fraser. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But he was actually, I mean, everybody thinks of Nightmare Before Christmas as being directed by Tim Burton, and it wasn't. He produced it, and he was a big part of the design and all of that. But, and I think he may have written it, maybe. I'm not sure. Let me see. Tim Burton, I think, was just a producer he wrote the original story and wrote the first screenplay. And he was obviously very much involved, but the actual director was this guy, Henry Selick. But he didn't do Frank and Weenie and all of those. He just did Nightmare Before Christmas. But Coraline is very much like, it's very Tim Burton-esque, although I don't think Tim Burton really had anything to do with this movie. But it's really good. Really good. Like, I highly recommend it. It's a good kind of gateway horror movie. I don't know if it is really considered horror or not, but it's in that genre. It's certainly, I think it is actually, considered horror, but it's certainly a gateway horror movie. It's more for kids, but there's some scary stuff in it that I would think, you know, some kids would really have a hard time with it. It's more, I certainly wouldn't say it's a little kid movie. It'd be more like maybe preteen to early teen range.
Yeah,
but it really appeals to adults too. So the reason we watched it is because the Sugar Mint Gallery, where Michelle has been doing these horror based shows in the last year. She did Stranger Things and Over the Garden Wall and Alfred Hitchcock and the Return to Halloween Haddonfield Return to Haddonfield show. They're doing Coraline as their next show. And so she wanted to watch it because it had been probably about as long for her to see it. And so she wanted to see what, you know, get some ideas for art that she could do. So we watched that, and it's so great. It is it's a classic. So I highly recommend, if you haven't checked out Coraline, I highly recommend checking that one out, because it's really, really well done. And it is, I don't want to say it's scary to me, but I could see where a kid would be terrified by that movie. It's pretty intense.
About as scary as like Willy Wonka, right? And the chocolate factory.
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of thing. I'd probably scarier than that, I would imagine. So that Willy Wonka had that one scene, you know, with the worm going across the person's mouth that freaked me out in the tunnel or whatever when they're going through that tunnel. That part was the thing that scared me when I was a kid. But
yeah, Gene Wilder just screaming the top of his lungs too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much what I watched that was not theme related. So, well, we rip right through it when it's just two people. That's kind of the way it was with Joe and me last year during this time.
Yeah.
It's just, you go quick. So I guess. I guess I can announce we also, our new short film, The Decoration, is the new trailer is out. If you want to check it out on our CineScare page on YouTube, and I've started submitting it to some film festivals. So, it's looking pretty good. And I feel like each one we've taken a step up in some ways. And I think another step up, from the first one and from the second one. So, but it's a lot of fun. It's a little more comedy than the others.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, but I'm really happy with it. I think, you guys you'll like it. Our good friend, James Oster, Jimmy O, he's in it. And, returning is, Ashish Samuel is back, and
he's great.
We have a new guy, Matt, Bergenzine, who we will have on the show at some point, especially as we get closer to the Decoration being in film festivals. So, and we got a little bit, we're working on a little something. I'll have to talk to you about it after the show, Mark, but we're working on something. What is that sound? Is that coming off on you?
Yeah, that's me. That's a grandfather clock.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because I'm like, what is that sound going on? That's hilarious. But we are working on a big project that I'll have to fill you in after we record. But stay tuned. Especially if you're in the LA Burbank area, we got something in the works that could be a really awesome thing. So,
am I going to be an actor?
No.
Damn,
no, it's not a performance or anything. It's well, I don't want to say it because it's still in the development phase, but coming in October, we could have something fun and pretty big going on. So
cool.
All right. Well, since I already disrupted that, this week was my pick, and it is J horror, a little Japanese horror. And I had been meaning to do this for a while. I just wasn't, I just kept pushing it back and pushing it back. But then I saw a clip on the Shudder app I was watching. And you know how like you get to the first page and they've got something, a movie kind of playing, like it's its own TV show or whatever channel.
Yeah. Little preview.
I saw the stripper scene from this next movie, Tokyo Gore Police, is our movie we're going to talk about. I saw the stripper scene in that becomes a bloody mess of insanity. I saw that, or I guess it's not really, it was a lap dance scene, I think, or it was going to be a lap dance. And, but I saw that, just that clip, and I thought, oh God, we have to do a J horror movie for my next pick. So that's what we are. So let's start things off on a low note or on a high note with Tokyo Gore Police. This one is, it came out in 2008. It is directed by Yoshihiro Nishimura. And he also directed, I think I looked up, Oh, he directed Vampire Girl, versus Frankenstein Girl. He's got a lot of like over the top looking kind of movies that I haven't seen or even heard of. But it does make me kind of want to investigate his stuff. A lot of it me just too. Is it's not really either available or you got to rent it or something like that. But there's a lot of stuff. There is a Tokyo Gore Police 2, but he did not.
Is there really?
Yeah, he didn't direct them. It doesn't look like. But yeah, Tokyo Gore Police. This stars I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce her name. Ihai Shina, I think. And she, of course, was the lead in Audition. She played the crazed woman in Audition, and she plays the lead in this. She's got a good, interesting look about her, you know, and very, you know. There's a kind of a craziness to her almost, you know, a little unhinged. And so it was perfect for this part. And let's see. Yeah. Let me read the synopsis. In a futuristic Tokyo where police have been privatized and bitter self-mutilation is so casual that advertising is often specially geared to the gutter demographic, Ruka is on a mission to avenge her father's assassination. Ruka is a cop from a squad whose goal is to destroy homicidal mutant humans known as engineers that possess the ability to transform transform any injury to a weapon in and of itself. So it's, I mean, that that is a mouthful, that description. And I can't believe they basically nailed the whole plot. It's just, if you heard that without watching it, you'd be like, I have no idea what you just described to me, because it sounds out of its mind. And you would go on to watch this and realize this movie is out of its mind. There is gore. There is absolutely over the top cartoonish violence, gore, and mayhem. Kind of similar to Project Kill Wolf Bill. Hunting. Well, Kill Bill, yeah, but also Project Wolf Hunting as well was big like that. I don't think this is as good as, well, certainly either of those movies, but it was a lot. It's a lot of fun. I even wrote 1 minute in, so it's that kind of movie, huh? I got 1 minute in, I'm like, whoa, it starts out crazy. So what did you think of Tokyo Gore Police?
Well, I never thought I would see a giant mutant penis rocket launcher before now.
I know. Michelle walked into the room right when that was happening, right when the guy's walking with this.
No.
He had this giant gnarly penis that shot stuff. What else? He had something else, too. What was the other?
Well, was it
eyes
mutant? Yeah, it was eyes. It was shooting out of his penis like eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, eyes. I thought it would, you know, could have gone with, you know, semen. It would be like acid or something like burning the flesh or something like that. But they just stuck with the eyes. They're a big fan of eyes and like protruding eyeballs, you know, like so weird. So thanks for that, Matt. I thought I'd never see that before. Matt, you picked two films with our lead actresses that are self-mutilating themselves in two films. Yep. And I know you didn't plan that. No.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I had not seen any of these movies. So,
Same with me. I was up at the log cabin with Shannon over this weekend, and so we decided to watch two of the films, and of course, both of them were self-mutilating, and Shannon's like, nope, I'm out. she
can't handle the body horror?
I don't know if it was the body horror or just the cutting of the arm or something, especially with another film that we're going to talk about. That was just, whew. This one's an interesting one, though. I mean, it's the over-the-top gore with blood spraying, like 50 gallons of blood from a severed arm or legs or penis, and the body-morphing monsters. I mean, this film reminded me a lot of Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch and a little bit of course, Starship Troopers. I mean, the propaganda of the police saying, basically, I'm doing my part with the head turning, swiveling, just like Starship Troopers. I was like, oh, that's completely Starship Troopers. Mm-hmm. So yeah, with all that propaganda of doing, you know, commercials, I mean, that I did enjoy that. I love the wheel razor scene cutting into the woman's fingers. That was,
oh, yes, that was, yes, special. Yeah. Oh,
that was really special.
Yes. Yeah.
It, I mean, how it was tearing, and it just, you could see just like a whole open up like wound from the blade, and you saw the bone, and then it kept going, and the fingers are just minor, just, it was fantastic. Yeah. I fucking loved that. I think I rewatched it like three times. And I actually had to bring Shannon into the room. I was like, watch this. Watch this. And she's going, is this still going? I'm like, yeah, but watch this. It's getting crazy now.
So she didn't watch either of the movies?
She got to, well, the Kotoko film. Kotoko. Yeah.
Kotoko,
She got halfway through and she was like, this is just depressing me. I gotta go. I was like, all right, bye. And then watching Tokyo Gore Police, she right when the self-mutilating, when the lead actress is in the cop car and just like slicing herself, she's going, what the fuck, Matt? She's going, is this on purpose? And she's like, I'm out. I'm going to read my book in another room. I'm like, all right, see ya. See you, babe.
That's funny.
I'd love to get her on the podcast because she's really good, but she's got to watch the film. And she's going, she even asked me like at the end, like I'm probably like 15 minutes, like at the end of Tokyo Gore Police. And she's going, can't you just turn it off and just say it was unwatchable? I'm like, no, it's like some people actually enjoy these films and we got to watch the whole thing. There's no turning off the film. And I mean, did I struggle with it? Because, like, I didn't really enjoy the, you know, I didn't care about the characters because I just, sometimes I didn't even know what the hell was going on and who was who and whatnot. But what I did enjoy about the film was absolutely just mayhem and the blood. And it was just good, gory fun. Mm-hmm. And you just take it with a grain of salt and you just enjoy it for the special effects and for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. I mean, I don't give it three cuts. I mean,
I gave it three cuts.
Yeah. It's no masterpiece, but you know what? It's, I'll never forget this film and you know, and that's what you do with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it had the pretty, you know, colors of flashing lights and a lot of blood, you know, memorable images, but I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just memorable images. I'll always have a giant rocket launcher penis in my head for the rest of my life. And it was fun.
it was a fun movie I give it three cuts too. I basically said it's fantastic nonsense. It's just the goofiest thing. There's, you know, it was a little bit, it was sort of kind of a similar setup to like, I don't know, like a porn or something like that, where it's like, it's really just setups for a gore situation. You know what I mean? And after a while, and then the story itself is just kind of, you know, but luckily it's only like 90 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. Right? It's like 96 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
It was 120 or 110 minutes. So it's a little longer than I thought, but, and I was thinking to myself, if this was any longer, I don't know that I'd be able to, you know, it would go down another half, you know, star if they had it any longer than that, just because I got a similar feeling to what I got from the last, Terrifier movie, Terrifier 3, where I, because that movie, of course, that one was really long. It was like 2.5 hours long. And I got this feeling like it's a little boring now. Like it is sort of, it's the same thing. It's a porn like
setup. You're desensitized by a certain amount of time and you're just like you're just staring at it and your eyes are open and your mouth is open and you're just like, I can't believe I'm still seeing what I'm seeing. But 2 hours, by 2 hours, it's like with Terrifier 3 is, I was like, yeah, we got to wrap this up. Yeah. I'm just like,
exactly. And it was just it was another scene where they're setting up something crazy for him to do. And another scene, you know, and that got a little old after a while. And that was, I felt that way about this one. I had fun with it and everything. But if it had been any longer at all, it would have really started to lose me quite a bit.
It kind of had like a MacGyver kind of, not the MacGyver, like from the 80s of, you know, with all the guy that makes the trinkets out of bubble gum and all that kind of stuff. Not that MacGyver. It's like it's Japanese science fiction MacGyver. Mark Hamill did a film. You know what I'm talking about? Mark Hamill was the star in it, but he like transformed into this like alien mutant, and it had like this, that eye that the lead actresses had. It's like it's a big staple in Japanese like anime of like a giant bug eye that's kind of like sprawled out and like onto their skull, into their cheek. Mm. But it's a huge Japanese like thing. They love that kind of shit.
Huh. No, I didn't know. I'd never heard of that before. I did think that I like the kind of amputated woman, you know, that with the sword arms and legs or whatever. Yeah. With the sword arms and legs. That was pretty cool.
That was great. That kind of reminded me of Blade 2. With the swords, she's jumping around like at the beginning and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I also think it did have a little bit of a, it's just that Sucker Punch Zack Snyder shit, you know? It was, I mean, it wasn't as glossy as Sucker Punch, but
yeah. It is what it is. It was just kind of a fun little thing. And also it probably would have been a lot better if they'd had actual, you know, well choreographed fight scenes that you could actually see the action. Some of the fight scenes, it felt like the camera was so close to them, you really couldn't see. And I have a feeling that a lot of that was because it didn't have a huge budget. You know, if it had a bigger budget and they could have had like a real fight coordinator, choreographer, you know, this movie needed that, because the fight scenes were pretty anticlimactic. But although that last one with the girl with the sword arms and legs spinning around and flying all over was pretty funny.
That one with the quadriplegic with the swords and whatnot. It looked like you ever see, remember the movie The Wiz with those guys on the rollers and they're hunched over?
I never saw The Wiz. Yeah.
You never saw The Wiz? That's horror adjacent. But they're kind of like on rollerblades, but on like wheels, and they're just like going like how the quadriplegic did. It'll remind me of that. You Wiz fans out there, you comment.
It reminded me also of Planet Terror with Rose McGowan with the machine gun legs a little bit, I guess, too. But
yeah,
I guess she had one.
Yeah, we haven't
tackled that one. Because I like, we did
Death Proof.
Death Proof, but not that one. And I like that one way better than Death Proof.
It's a good one.
What do you want to guess was Joe's review and rating of this movie?
Oh, let's do a Joe thing. I think Joe found it actually. I think he actually enjoyed this one. But he was sick watching this, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I think he enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're right. He did. He got. In fact, he said this movie completely delivers. It's an original, inventive story with excellent gore and great creature design. This film could have easily been done by Sam Raimi. I love the commercials throughout the film, which I agree, those commercials were hilarious. Sometimes it was hard to realize it was a commercial going on, but that was pretty funny. And Joe gives this of his rating, like his star or cuts, he gives it 4.5.
No.
I swear to God.
No, he did not.
He gave it 4.5 cuts.
What? Four and a half?
I don't understand that man. Like, I don't know what's happening with him.
What is going on with him?
I don't know. 4.5 cuts on this goddamn movie. I'm like, I reserve 4.5 cuts to classics. Those are like
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, stuff like that. Those are like the movies that I cannot imagine. But he's sick.
You know. 4.5.
He's gonna get better and then look at his ratings and go, I fucking gave that movie 4.5 cuts. Yeah, I cannot figure him though.
Do you know what Catherine gave it? Did you ask Catherine?
I didn't. I should. You know what?
She's
I'm gonna
busy.
Text her while you're talking about the next movie. I'm gonna text her and see if she can just fill me in really quickly. All right. So the next one, let's move on to Kotoko.
Okay.
This one it was not exactly the feel good movie of the year. It was definitely
that's the first thing I wrote. Feel good movie of the year.
This was a pretty heavy film, and my God, some images at the end of this movie were shocking. So this is Suffering from Double Vision. A mother tries to take care of her baby in the grip of terrifying hallucinations. Experiencing a nervous breakdown, she is deemed unfit to take care of her child and has it taken away from her. The only respite the mother has from her visions is when she sings. An award-winning novelist overhears her singing whilst riding the bus, and the pair subsequently develop a volatile relationship. So, again, this is starring, I guess, she's a J-pop star named Coco.
Yeah.
She's a very famous singer. I don't think I've ever heard of her, but, you know, I guess I'm not listening to Japanese pop music very often, but, she was also, a dancer or whatever, but she's I guess from what I understand, she's a pretty famous star in Japan. And
like
I thought she was
I heard
really good in this movie. I thought she like
phenomenal,
like insanely, like it was very believable. At times it almost felt like we were watching
too much.
We're just like watching documentary. A person going through this. Like it was shocking. So what are your thoughts on Kotoko?
Yeah, it's this film was a rough one to get through. It's besides the singing, and boy, was there a lot of singing.
Yeah,
too much in my opinion.
It was a bit too much.
It was a lot.
It was a bit much.
Speaking of which, what the hell is going on with these lyrics? I mean, one of the lyrics was "The hand holds a rose to my heart. I sing for the wind blowing through my hair." I mean, these are the worst lyrics ever.
Yeah. And like, well, I think some of it's lost in translation.
Is it like haiku? Is it haiku or something that she's singing? Is that what it is?
I always assume when you hear the lyrics to a foreign song, a lot is lost in translation because it's written for that language, you know. And then the American or the English translation. Sometimes the concepts don't or the words don't work, you know, together. And so it probably sounds better in the native language.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently the actress Coco is a music artist, like you said. And I found out it's kind of like a Madonna stature of like how big she was. Coco was a pretty big deal in Japan. And I guess that's why she got the role, because she was such a famous, you know, musician. And it kind of reminded me of what was that one movie that Bjork was in? Dancer in the Dark, right? I think it was Dancer in the Dark.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember seeing that in a movie theater, and I thought she was just great in it. It kind of reminded me of like the same, you know, the musician going into like a dark film, and this is what this musician did for this film. But she was absolutely terrifying to watch. She had the crazy eye look down perfectly. And if you want to talk about a weapon of choice, this fucking fork.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh my God.
Crazy, huh?
This fork, just picking up the fork and just the first person. And then with the writer, the author, of course, you know, stabs him. Guy still comes back. He's completely loved. He's got to be pretty much crazy in my opinion. Also, coming back to that, then stopping the fork going into his hand again, and then she stabs the hand again, and then right. and then and it's just and so then this guy, this author, loves her so much that she just he just lets her tie him up and just beat him to a bloody pulp just so she doesn't
hurt herself, harm herself.
And I mean, talk about love, but I mean, this guy's face was mangled. I mean, it was just, what you do for love. My God.
Yeah. He was, his face was, it was like he was deformed or something after the beating she gave him once. And one of those times, and oh my God, dude. But yeah, he would rather have her beat him than hurt herself. Just insane.
And she loved it. She loved it. She was good. And she really appreciated it. I mean, she's kissing all the wounds and licking it or whatever. And then it was heartbreaking just when she's like, she hasn't been able to beat him for a while because he's got to heal. And he's going, I'm almost healed, baby. You know, I'm, you know, sweetheart, I'm almost healed. And then you could do this to me, you know, do it to me again. I'm just like, this is not healthy. This whole film was unhealthy just watching because, I mean, it's, I wouldn't go as, see, I wouldn't go as far as saying this is a horror movie, but more of a display of how horrific like postpartum is and depression really is, and the self-mutilation is just a hard watch, and just the tension of this mother being around her child was just not fun at all. It was deeply disturbing.
And so
is that what you call it, a double vision, when she pictures horrible things that happens to her child? That's called a double vision?
Well, no, because I mean, the double vision is that, and she really only had it the beginning of the movie, I think, until the child came back, but she would see two of everyone and she didn't know which one was the real one. Yeah. Right.
That's and okay. So, that's double vision.
So she had a vision of her, ex, I don't know who the guy at the beginning was.
I thought it was her father.
Or maybe it was her dad. But he was playing with the child. And then she looks up and sees him also over here staring at her in another part of the room. And then she went out for a walk and she sees a guy riding a bike. But there's another one exactly like him riding next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running and they're both riding right for her. And she didn't know which one was the real one and which one not. So she just kind of cowered. And then the real guy comes up and the other one's gone. And he just looks at her like, what the hell's her problem? But yeah, so she would see two of everything and not know which one was real. And then the one that wasn't real would like assault her or try to assault her.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So she just rolled the dice and got Yahtzee for every single, you know, depression, schizo, double vision, postpartum. Yeah. I mean, and boy, you see it happening, you know, on screen watching her do this, like all of it. I mean, just the thought of her holding the baby and just her mind is just let go a little bit. Like, what happens if I just let my arms like go just a tad, just a little bit. And then she drops the baby off the roof. And then she thinks, and just horrible, just watching her scream, running down the stairs, you know, and then like, where's the baby? The baby's back in the apartment. She all just imagined
it was all hallucination or whatever.
Hallucination. And then of course she's knocking on the door to all her neighbors. Sorry, all that. Just woof, woof, woof. And what was the worst hallucination that you thought that she had of this kid?
Well, at the end, I mean, the thing that had, you know, the I don't want to give it away. It's a pretty shocking ending, or, you know, towards the end, that one.
Yeah, the gunshot was really bad.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Oh my gosh! And I always, you know, and I always kid is like, kill the kids, not that young.
Yeah.
I don't want them that young. Yeah. No, thank you. That's horrific.
It was a disturbing. That was a disturbing image. And they go there in this movie. It's not held back. It's pretty pretty brutal. This is one that I give it four cuts. I did too. I really appreciate the filmmaking, but I don't think I'd ever want to watch it again. But I'm glad I checked it out. It's definitely, I thought that it is, you know, a really, very realistic version of that mental illness, whatever she has. Obviously not most people thankfully don't have anything like this, but the fact that she did, Coco played it, it was very believable. Like she was really good. Obviously the big crazy movie, stuff where she's screaming or beating on the guy or whatever, or stabbing him with the fork. Those are one thing. But when you see the subtle crazy in her, like when she goes to her sisters to see the baby after they've removed this baby or the child from the home, she goes to her sisters and you just see like the child has now lived with the sister for a while. You know, it looks like maybe a year. I don't know, because it was only an infant when they took it out of the home. And
it,
so
it's like 2 years.
Yeah. And so she goes to visit and the child doesn't know who she is. And it looks to her sister like it's like the sister's the mom. And, sure. And she, you know, you just see her like there's jealousy in her, and pain. But she understands. It's so what an amazing performance. It was incredible.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that they didn't go that route. Cause I was like, oh, when the sister was looking at the other sister who is taking care of her child, and I'm just going, don't go this route where she's just going to kill the sister and, you know, her other sons and the husband. Right. I was like, don't do this. No. I'm glad it didn't go that route. But and just watching the mother, like, you know, itching her fingers towards, you know, the kid, and it would just seemed a little bit too much. And then when the mother was giving the baby like the chocolates, the Japanese chocolates, and the sister's going, no, let him finish that. And she just looked and like, that's my son. And she just opens up another one here. And
cringy, so uncomfortable.
And just, and I do have to say, the self-mutilations, that was really hard to watch, but there was a comedic scene. Right. I don't even know if it was meant.
With the towel.
Or if the towel scene.
Oh, it was totally meant to be funny.
Like you just see the arm and she's like, no, it's in that drawer.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's this mangled it's arm. Dark, like everything's fine.
It's dark comedy.
No, that's for the diapers. You can't use that. He's like, what?
Yeah. I thought some of the singing scenes were touching or whatever, but I felt like there were too many of them. Yeah.
The one where she was doing like the music. It was a full complete song.
Right.
But I did like the touches of her. I mean, there was no choreography at all. You could tell she was doing this like at spur of the moment, thought of the moment, like, you know, with the beads and all that, and it was all spur of the moment. I don't think that was choreographed at all, and so that I thought was like really interesting to see. It was a little too long, but just the craziness and of her performing for this guy that did what he that nobody on this world or on this earth would have ever done for her. And so she decided to put on a little show for him and just see the craziness in her eyes.
Yeah. She was nuts, but this is great. If you obviously check out the trigger warnings on this one. I'm not usually big on trigger warnings, but you know, this kind of thing, I think you should probably check it out for this movie, because there are a couple things that I think a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle.
Agreed. I also have to say that when I watched this that night, I was like, I was really not thinking I was a fan of it, because it was so depressing and so dark. But after, you know, a couple of days, I'm like thinking of it. I'm just going, that's a really good fucking movie.
Yeah, it really is. It sticks with you for sure. I kept thinking about this one after, and I definitely do not have any desire to watch it again. But I can certainly appreciate what went into it. Joe's review of this.
Mm.
I'm still sleepy from watching this film. Too much.
Wait. I'm supposed to guess.
No. Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Well,
he hated it.
You knew he was going to hate this.
I knew he was going to hate this.
I'm still sleepy from watching this film. Too much singing, too slow, not for me. How many stars do you think he gave?
He gave it 1.5.
He gave it half a star. I don't know what the hell's going on with Joe. It was a bad idea for him. He shouldn't watch movies this week unless it's something like that comedy he watched. He should just watch movies he already knows he likes, because anything new he's not going to like. One battle after another. I haven't seen it, so I have no idea. I can't say, but like, there's no way.
Did he like it?
I haven't seen it yet. Oh, didn't you see his text earlier?
No.
Oh, he hated it.
He hated.
Yeah, one battle after another.
It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say one way or the other, but it's been on my list. Like, oh, I want to watch that, but it is long. So I've been like, every time I want to start watching it, I'm like, oh, it's getting late. I don't know if I can start that now. But
Sean Penn's awesome in it. Oh,
yeah, I've heard really good things about it, but Joe shouldn't have watched that when he's got COVID and he's sick and he's in a bad mood. Oh, God.
So, it's stupid.
Yeah, one half star. I mean, half a star. The only movies I give half a star are Zombex and movies. I mean, Zombex is probably one of the only movies I gave a half a star to. Usually I can find something. I would have thought he'd at least do 1.5, 2, appreciate the performance or something. But no, he's sick. So
he's sick. He's fucked this movie.
Goddamn Joe. All right. So that
what
brings
did Catherine think?
Oh, Catherine, that's right. This one, I don't think she didn't see Kotoko, but I will say that she did text me back. And Tokyo Gore Police, she gives 3 out of 5. So basically the same as us. Same as us.
Yeah.
Not 4.5. Not
4.5. Joe, this is the greatest thing ever.
This is the best movie I've ever seen.
Sliced off the penis. Oh, that was amazing.
All right, so that brings us to our final film. This is a 1977 film. This really was one of the reasons why I wanted to do Japanese horror, because I kept hearing about this being Raimi-esque or whatever, and I just never got around to watching it. so I'm glad I finally got to. This is House, directed by Nobuhiko Obayashi, and I don't think there's anything else that he's directed that I know anything about. He's directed a lot of Japanese films, but and I don't even, I mean, looking over his list,
I don't
of
think
films,
he's done another.
I don't see any real horror.
He passed away in 2020.
Mm. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really see much horror though, other than this movie. So kind of interesting. It's hard to tell from some of these covers though. But anyway, so House is in the heart of a violet forest. An old house awaits young girls. Hoping to find a sense of connection to her late mother, Gorgeous, which is the name of this character, takes a trip with her friends to visit her aunt's ancestral house in the countryside. The girls soon discover that there is more to the old house than meets the eye. So I don't know if this is like a haunted house or if there's more going on. I know the aunt turns out to be kind of like a vampire, right. I guess. but there's also other things in this house and other, it seems like other.
It's a haunted house.
Yeah, it's pretty much haunted.
It's a haunted house. Yeah.
You got
an eating piano.
Yeah. This is Kamiko Aikigami plays Gorgeous. Kamiko Oba plays Fantasy. Matsuburo plays Professor. Miki Jinbo plays Kung Fu. Eriko Tanaka plays Melody. Masayo Miyako plays Sweet. And Maiko Sato plays Mac.
Mac.
Yeah.
The Big Mac.
So, yeah, all of these... girls are around the same age, and they're, I think they're supposed to be around high school age or whatever. And
high school age, yeah.
And but I don't know. What did you think about House?
I think that I'm torn between this one. I did enjoy this film. And I thought I didn't like this film. There just seems to be sort of a playfulness to this film, like tongue in cheek, I guess. So I felt like I was watching a Huff and Puff kids show most of the time. Mm. You know, like a Teletubby kind of thing. I love the aspects of like the painted background scenes, and it was just absolutely different from any other movie I've basically seen before. It was very artistic.
Yeah.
Felt like a Tim Burton stamp a lot of the times. You know, and I do love, you know, like, thank God whoever decided on the name of the girls, you know, like Gorgeous Fantasy, Kung Fu Professor, Mac. It helped me know exactly who these characters are, because watching some Japanese or Chinese films, and I know it's the same for them watching American films, they have a hard time distinguishing actors from actors, you know, just they're not used to it. And we all look alike for some reason to them. And the same with, you know, Japanese actors and actresses, they kind of look the same. And I have a hard time like, wait, who's that? Who's that? But it was nice that, you know, it was real easy. Kung Fu. Okay. She's the Kung Fu. Got it. Kung Fu. And I just really like related to these characters. I started liking these characters. I've never seen young teenagers want to clean and cook as much as these girls. They thought it was like the greatest thing in the world. Oh, I love cleaning, just cleaning up the whole house. Really weird. I don't think the nudity was really necessary in this film. Gorgeous was only 18 when she did the nudity. It's just like right there. I'm just like, that's too young. And it wasn't necessary. It really wasn't, you know, to be had in there. I don't know why, you know, the director decided to do that. But my favorite kill was definitely the piano eating scene. Probably going to say this film might find its way back at a second viewing, maybe like in 20 years. I think I will watch this film again because it is fun. And it's, you know, like the watermelon guy right before the house. He's like super fun. And I just love the it kind of felt like a Scooby-Doo esque kind of thing, you know. You have the professor, and you know all of them kind of had their own like quirk, and they're like running around the haunted house, and it was actually, you know, really fun kind of horror, a lot of fun horror, you know.
Yeah,
the Mac coming out with, you know, decapitated with the big head out of the well, that was super fun.
Yeah,
and that's when I texting us going, what did you do? Like, what am I watching? Like, I've never seen anything like this before in my whole entire life. And it was a good film. I think I'm going to go three cuts with it as well. Three cuts. I'm going to go with three cuts with this. Did you like this film?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought I give it four cuts. I really liked this one. I thought the music was fantastic. It was just so perfect for this, what they were doing. Every character is kind of its own stereotype. So, you know, it's a big cast, so that helps. I didn't have an issue about telling them apart as much as just what are their personalities. When you have that many girls all the same age, then it, you know, you do need some distinct personalities, and sometimes, you know, that seems very stereotypical that they give them personalities like based on whatever, but it didn't bother me in this one because they leaned into the stereotypes. Like, they just they didn't just have different personalities and things they were into. They also named the characters after those personalities. So I thought that was a pretty interesting. And it's the whole thing is so over the top and like kind of playful and kitschy and campy. And it leans into all of that, that it all worked. Like, you know, calling, you know, gorgeous is the most beautiful of them, and Fantasy is the one she's kind of got her head in the clouds, and Melody is the one who plays the piano, and Kung Fu literally is the one who does Kung Fu or karate or whatever.
And she's doing great at the end of that film. And, that was awesome.
Yeah, no, she kicked ass. She kind of almost became the star for a while in the movie. She was kicking ass. And then, Prof was the professor and the smart one or whatever. So it was just, I thought it was fun. And you could tell, it seemed to me like they probably had a blast making that movie too. Like they were all like really enjoying themselves. So it just had a feeling to me like of just pure joy. I thought there was some excitement to it as well. So I had a great time with this. What do you think Joe's opinion of this one was?
Oh, shit. I'm going to go with... I think he was medium in the road with this one. I'm going to say he gave this 2.5. 2.5 cuts.
He actually... This is the one he probably liked the most of the three.
Ah.
He
gave 4.5 cuts for...
Oh, no, you're right. Okay, so he liked this one second most. That's right.
Okay. I was like, that's going to be a 5-star.
Yeah. He said, I think this movie was made to simply satisfy a Japanese businessman's fetish. There's a scene where the girl who I believe is called the professor falls into the water and she is immediately naked and swimming in slow motion. I don't understand where her clothes went. Like all of a sudden she's just naked when she falls into the water.
Oh, I thought that was Gorgeous that fell in the water and lost her clothes. That was the professor?
No, it was Professor. Gorgeous was naked briefly earlier though. She was doing the hot tub. Like she got into the hot tub. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
And she like stood up or whatever and you see her briefly, but both of them, you know, and then like Kung Fu did lose her skirt at a certain point and then was running around in just underwear, in her underwear. So yeah, I get, you know, those things weren't necessarily needed, I guess. But I mean, it's 70s, 80s. There was nudity in all these movies. Yeah. I love how every time the fiance is on screen, it's like she's standing in front of a wind machine. Yeah. But I mean, obviously that was a choice. That was they
right.
It's a very stylized kind of thing. I don't know that I would consider this to be a true horror film because it really seems more like a Japanese real life action version of a Scooby-Doo mystery. Yeah. But comedy horror, I'd say this is falls kind of under comedy. It's definitely over the top. I would not be surprised. I did not get a chance to look this up, but I wouldn't be surprised if this really influenced the Raimis when they were doing their Evil Dead. You know, I'm quite sure it probably did. Overall, this was very entertaining. So he liked it. Three cuts. I give it 4 cuts. And Catherine gives it 3.5 cuts. She did not watch. She did not watch.
Kotoko.
No. So, let's see.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. There's a scene with the girl gets attacked by soft bedding. And I was like, I don't think that's probably all that dangerous. She was, but the soft, you know, it was like bedding and a mattress are attacking her. I'm like, well, that's not really that bad. but yeah, I really enjoyed myself. I had a blast with this movie. It's, let me see.
Yeah, it was a fun watch.
How long was it? It was 88 minutes. I mean, it was a breeze to get through.
That's short as hell.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. So, that's it for this time or for this pick. I liked these. I liked all three of these movies though. I loved House. I really liked Tokyo Gork Police and, Kotoko. I liked it. I didn't, you know, I wouldn't say I will ever want to watch that again. Cause it's so, it's so bleak.
It's depressing.
It's very depressing, but it's really well done. And that performance by Coco is amazing. So,
all these films for me, I did enjoy like the first like viewing and like I had to, while I was viewing it, I'm like, am I having a good time and all that? And then days later, I'm just like, yeah, I actually had a good time. Cause I'm still thinking about it now and it's putting a smile to my face. So all good three picks.
I like these, you know, the Japanese horror films. I don't think they're, you know, quite as good as like the French horror in terms of, you know, foreign language films. I don't think they're quite as good as the French or really the Korean either. I still think the Korean movies are generally speaking better than what I've seen so far.
They know what they're doing, the Koreans,
from the Japanese horror. But you know, like French horror, and but I do like the idea of exploring more different language horror as well, and checking out other countries at some point, and maybe, you know, because I do want to do a K-horror episode. We have never done that. We've had a lot of Korean films as part of picks, but just a K-horror episode, it would be nice. And then maybe, you know, I'd love to explore other countries too. So,
yeah.
The next pick is Joe's.
Oh, boy.
And he's got
a little something under the weather.
Yeah, he's a little under the weather. So yeah,
no. I'm gonna fucking ruin everybody's 2 weeks.
I'm gonna get you back for Kotoko.
You know, fucking damn it.
So he's doing abduction horror.
Oh,
so he's got, and these I've seen one of them. I haven't seen two of them. So the first one is The Loved Ones from 2009. This is a rental. It's directed by Sean Byrne, starring Xavier Samuel, Robin McLeavy, and John Brumpton. And the synopsis is, when Brent turns down his class. I don't know if we do so not. He did include the synopsis, but we don't really include that for the, when we're just announcing the picks. But it looks like a, well, it's set at prom or whatever. But yeah, so that's from 2009. All these are more recent. Then
okay,
let's see. The next one is Pet from 2016. This is the only one I've seen, and this one is on Tubi, Pluto TV, and Plex. So
Pet,
all of
P-E-T.
All of, yeah, PET. I've seen this before. It's pretty good. Yeah, and it stars Dominic Monaghan from.
Oh, I like him.
He played Mary in the Lord of the Rings movies. Mm-hmm. And Jeanette McCurdy, she was in iCarly, I guess. So that's Pet from 2016.
Okay.
And then last but not least is Chained from 2013. This one's on Prime, Tubi, and Pluto TV. And this one is directed by Jennifer Lynch. And it stars Vincent D'Onofrio and Eamon Farron. So, and this one is, like I said, it's on Prime, Tubi, and Pluto TV. So,
and it's, so it's people abducted and tortured.
Right.
Probably. Yep.
Well, I don't know about tortured, but they're at least abducted. Yeah. And she is the daughter. The director is Jennifer Lynch. She is the daughter of David Lynch. So,
all right.
She directed, well, she, it looks like she directed some episodes of the show, of the TV series Dahmer. She directed Boxing Helena. I never saw that.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I think that was one that was like supposedly one of the worst movies of the 90s. It was on
that was a great
the
movie.
Worst movies of the 90s.
It was Sherilyn Finn.
Tons of lists for worst movie of the 90s.
I really enjoyed that film,
yeah. I'm looking at my letterbox. There's tons of people with one star on that thing. anyway, so those are the movies again. That is The Loved Ones from 2009, it is a rental. Pet from 2016 is on Tubi, Pluto TV, and Plex. And Chained from 2013 is on Prime, Tubi, and Pluto TV. So,
awesome.
All right. Well, that's it. So hopefully next time, what?
No, we went through a whole entire episode without you saying anything bad about me. And I, what, It was wonderful, Matt.
Well, you didn't say anything stupid this time, so
I had to have my game on.
It'll be hard for me to do the bumper this time, so I'll have to like while I'm editing listen for something. I think you did there's one thing that out of context will I think work as the bumper, so I'll have to go back find it again. All right.
Yeah, well, I even listened to your YouTube episode. I don't know if it's coming out yet, but do you want to plug that or?
Yeah, I don't think I did an interview with a radio station in I don't know if it's an on. Yeah, it's a radio station in Iowa, and the interview is supposed to come out. They're supposed to post it to YouTube soon. So I'll find out from him once it's posted, and then I'll share it on the CineScare fan page. But it was a fun little interview talking about my books, talking about the short films, and also talking about CineScare a little bit too.
Even said something nice about me on the show.
Yeah, I did.
It touched my heart. I was just like, he really likes me.
That's funny.
And hey, doing a plug. I've been invited on a podcast called Real Beans. Catherine Horan has been on the show, and he reached out to me to talk about Friday the 13th soon.
Nice.
The original. The 1981. Nice. So I'll be talking about that film on Real Beans. So
check
that out.
Yeah. You'll have to let us know. Because last time we got to talk about Friday the 13th, like we were new at this relative. I mean, we'd only been doing it 6 months and you were brand new. It was your first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be nice just to talk about Friday the 13th, just one film and just get into the whole lore.
I'm sure you'll touch on the franchise a little bit, maybe, right? Yeah.
Well, if I do a good enough job, if he likes me, well, I don't know. He knows what he's getting into because he's listened to our show. And I said, Catherine, you're like, you sure he wants me? And she's going, no, he's listened to the show. He's all about that. So
yeah.
He's going to get the super fan.
All right. Well, please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and find our merchandise, buy our merchandise that Joe was kind enough to design for us. And it'll make Joe feel better if he sees there's sales going on there. It'll perk him up while he's sick. Hopefully by Friday he won't be, but huh?
He's got the sniffles.
He does have the sniffles.
Sniffles.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
We got a death curse.
There was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes. What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is
the scare. I never thought I would see a giant mutant penis rocket launcher before now.